Well, we are in the next to last message in a series that's called Emotionally Healthy You. And to those of you watching online, we're so thankful to have you with us today as well. You know, as humans, we need this rhythm to oscillate between work and rest in order to actually function well. Louis Brandeis, who was once who served on the U.S. Supreme Court, served for over 20 years, he said, "I can do a year's worth of work in 11 months, but I cannot do a year's worth of work in 12 months. In other words, I need rest. I need some pit stops along the way. Let me put a photo up here. Some of you maybe have heard of this fast food establishment, Chick-fil-A. They're doing fairly well, by the way. And when they opened, their founder, Truett Cathy, decided they would be closed on Sunday. And here's what he had to say. "Our decision to close on Sunday was our way of honoring God and directing our attention to things more important than our business. If it took 7 days to make a living with a restaurant, we needed to be in some other line of work. And through the years, I've never wavered from that position. I see no conflict between biblical principles and good business practice. Corporate America needs faith in something more than the bottom line." If you're the kind of person who's going too fast and too far without stopping, you might be running past your good shepherd, whose plan for you includes regular rest, reconnection, and restoration. And without regular Sabbaths and pit stops, you might be able to run hard, but not as long and with not nearly as much emotional health as those who tap into God's rhythm of rest, reconnecting, and regaining perspective and momentum. Everybody, we are busy people. Ask somebody, "Hey, how you doing?" Odds are somebody's going to say, "I am busy. I am super busy." And we are. We're busy with work and, get this, we're busy with play. We know how to work hard and we know how to play hard. But do we know how to rest well? So today, the title of today's message is Sabbath. We're going to talk about the Sabbath, a word that does not mean Saturday. Sabbath means stopping. Sabbath means to rest, to celebrate. Now listen very, very clearly. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was viewed as a Sabbath day, and it actually, you know, it didn't start this way, but it eventually became a command. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel was one nation, and they were a theocracy, and it eventually became a command. You remember the Sabbath day, all right? The New Testament doesn't give us necessarily the Sabbath day command, but I believe it does give us the Sabbath principle because, listen, the Sabbath was made for you. Jesus will say that over and over. The Sabbath was made for you. It's a gift to you. All right. Sometimes our busyness goes beyond our schedule. It goes into our personhood. So let's take a look at this today. All right. We'll start in Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." So now, you think you've had a productive week? God had a really productive week. And he created everything. He goes through the creation story 6 days. Genesis chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed," notice this, "in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. Shabbat, from which we'll then get the word Sabbath. He rested from all his work. And then God, notice this, he blessed the seventh day. He blessed this Sabbath. In other words, it's not just, you know, every day is like one other day, all flows together, hey, it's the weekend. He took a day and he says, I'm blessing this. And notice, he made it holy. Very first time you see the word holy in the Bible. God says, I'm taking this moment, I'm setting it aside. It's a special moment, it's unique, it's different, it's set apart. And he did this because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So this creation story, it begins with God working and building and creating, and it ends with God resting. Now, make sure you get that. God rested. Why did he rest? God who never takes a nap, God who never gets grouchy and run down, God who never sleeps, God who's always at his fullest potential, he rested. Why? Was he tired? No. You know, sometimes in music, there is a rest. There is a pause. You stop. You pause. And it's there for a dramatic effect to look back and see what's happened and anticipate what is to come. And so God stopped and paused. And what did he do? He looked back over his creation and said, this is good. This is very, very good. You know, we work because God works. And we rest because God rests. And if you don't learn how to rest well, I didn't say work hard and play hard, but rest well, I don't think you'll learn how to work well. Work and rest are not enemies. Work and rest are friends. Now, let's continue on with our little survey of the Old Testament Sabbath principle. Now we go to Exodus chapter 16, and this is, again, this is before the law to remember the Sabbath day is given. In Exodus 16, you remember how God's people were going through the wilderness. They needed to be fed. They were hungry. And God provided manna from heaven. Every single day, manna, bread would come from heaven. But there was one day it didn't fall, on the seventh day. And so on the sixth day, you could go out and collect 2 days' worth. But on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, you just collect 1 day's worth. You collect more than that, it's going to spoil. And so Exodus 16, bear in mind, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. God is saying, I want you to trust me for your provision. You can just work and work and work and work and work. Or you can actually invite me into your world. And as Moses would say, the Sabbath is a gift to you. And I will help you provide. And now we come to Exodus 20, where God is actually going to take this Sabbath principle and he'll make it a command for the people of Israel. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, set apart. Hey, it's just not part of the weekend. No. Keep it set apart, holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay. This command is in the Old Testament. And it was a command for people under the law. You remember the Sabbath day, the seventh day, and you make it a day of rest. If you are in ownership position, you protect those who serve under you. Whatever I am giving this gift to the nation. This nation is going to function differently, and so you honor the seventh day. It's a day of rest. It's a day of worship. It's a day with your family. Now, in the New Testament, this command is not brought over. It's not. Why? Because now it's not just one nation under God, all sorts of nations. And you may be working for someone who doesn't believe in God or honor God or know him, but this Sabbath principle, taking time, to rest, taking time to regain momentum and perspective, taking time to refresh yourself and reconnect with God and your family, this is an absolutely beautiful principle. We all need regular time for rest, recovery, and spiritual renewal. Now, I want to read a section from the New Testament, from Mark chapter 2, and we're going to see a statement from Jesus, and part of the statement from Jesus was so needed by the people in his day and his culture. But part of what he has to say is, I think, especially apropos for us today in our culture. All right? Sound confusing enough? Here we go. Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick up some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath?" So you get this, Jesus and his disciples, they're walking through the field, there's grain, they start to snack, and the Pharisees criticize Jesus and his disciples for, quote unquote, working on the Sabbath. Were they working? No. I mean, the Old Testament law said you don't work on the Sabbath. Well, that's nebulous. So the religious experts of the day came up with 1,521 man-made customs and laws to make sure that you didn't violate the Sabbath. And so now the critics are saying, Jesus, you and your disciples, you're violating the Sabbath. He says, we are not. Haven't you ever read what our hero David did in the Old Testament? How in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God, he ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and then he also gave some to his companions. And then he said to them, okay, listen to the statement. The Sabbath this gift from God for rest and renewal and reconnection, this was made for you, for your benefit. It's a gift to you, not the other way around. Man wasn't made for the benefit of the Sabbath. Now, I think the people in that culture, those Jews who regularly honored the Sabbath but had made it such a burden, Jesus, this last part, they really needed to hear. Listen. People aren't made for the benefit of the Sabbath. They really needed to hear that. I think we need to hear the first part. Sabbath is made for you. We know how to work hard. We know how to play hard. Are we in tune with a Sabbath principle? All right, a couple of points here, if you're taking notes, as I know you are. So here's the first point. God wants you to take time for rest and worship. He wants you to. It's good for you. It's a gift. In fact, in the old law, when he taught them to take Sabbath, here's one of the things they are to do. Leviticus 23, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred, a day of what? A day of sacred assembly. You're not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath. It is a ceasing, a stopping, a celebrating unto the Lord. Some of you are familiar with the name Walter Brueggemann. He is regarded as one of the greatest living Bible scholars today, written lots of books. He's written a book on the Sabbath. It's called Sabbath as Resistance. He says, because in our culture here, if you don't take and embrace the Sabbath principle, it's not going to come to you. You're bombarded. And you've got more opportunities to do, and go than you can possibly, comprehend. He says this, Sabbath is not simply the pause that refreshes. It's the pause that transforms. Whereas Israelites are always tempted to acquisitiveness, acquiring more and more, Sabbath is an invitation to receptivity, to an acknowledgement that what is needed is given and need not be seized. Hey, how many of you watched the ball game last night? Yeah. And I look out, I see a lot of Astros gear right here, wearing mine, as most faithful disciples are today. And it's great. Wasn't that a fantastic game? Yeah. I mean, Jose Altuve, next time we have elder nominations here, I'm putting down Jose Altuve. The guy is just, he never ceases to amaze me. He can just do anything. He does it with grace and class, and just, he is so impressive. Garrett Cole has been, over the last few months, the most dominant pitcher in the major leagues. Now, Keith, you'll know this. I don't think he's lost a game since May. Is that right? He's not lost a game since May. Garrett Cole. And he's scheduled to start, I'm assuming, the Tuesday night first World Series game. Well, if Garrett Cole right now has been on this dominant run, if he's not lost a game since May, why don't we just pitch Garrett Cole every game? Doesn't that make sense? Hello? Doesn't it make sense? If he's unbeaten, if he's winning every game he's pitching, why don't we just pitch him every game? Answer, you just can't do that. Well, Altuve plays different every game. He's from another planet, No. He does, but it's a different position, different assignments, different wear and tear. You can't compare your job with another or this or that. It's just known that pitchers need 4 days rest. And studies show you take a dominant pitcher. Well, we'll pitch him on short rest, 3 days. His effectiveness goes down. But if he's unbeaten, just pitch him every day. You just can't do that. You work, you pitch, you rest. Remember the earlier quote? I can do a year's worth of work in 11 months, but I can't do a year's worth of work in 12 months. And on your car, you've got an accelerator and you've got a brake, and both are needed. And if you don't hit the brakes periodically, what happens is people start looking worse than they are. Problems start looking bigger than they are. God starts looking farther away than he really is. And some of you like to brag, say, oh, I've not taken a vacation in 10 years, we know. You don't have to tell us. We get that, all right? God wants you to take time for worship and rest. And here's the beautiful thing. When, in the Old Testament, when people had to take a Sabbath, think what it did for the family. We eat together. We talk. Husband and wife reconnect. And write this down. Every life, including yours, needs this rhythm of work and rest. And what does it look like? You know, we live in a culture where, you know, you may have to work on Sunday. You're here today, but some Sundays you may have to work. Or some of you, I know when I see a lot of you on Sunday, that afternoon you're going to work. You're showing homes, or you're going to the airport, you're boarding a plane, and who knows where you're going to be across the globe this week, and then you'll fly back in Thursday or Friday. But you do your best to make this sacred assembly, the worship, an important part. How do we make this work in our culture? You will have to seize it in your life. If I could wave a magic wand over you, it would be that Sunday mornings would be that sacred, protected time. That it doesn't just sort of, well, it's just part of the weekend, you know, just like any other time. But that it would be sort of a sacred, protected time. If I could wave a magic wand for you. And for me, in my work, I mean, obviously, I work on Sunday morning. I used to work Sunday afternoons and Sunday nights. I'm an energetic person, and I'd plan things Sunday afternoon and lead something on Sunday night. But a few years ago, I just said, you know, I got to stop this. And now, once my responsibilities are over, I go home, or sometimes we go out, and with family or maybe with friends, most of the time it's our extended family, and we just Shabbat, Sabbath. Have an easy meal, paper plates, something prepared the night before. It's easy. The kids play. We might play a game. Once they leave, Martha and I reconnect. It's intentional, slow motion. Intentional, I have a do not to-do list. What about if you get an email? I don't respond unless it's urgent. I mean, it's okay to do good on the Sabbath, but unless it's urgent, it'll wait till tomorrow. And it's that I'm going to pamper my soul in the presence of God. I'm going to do some things that just, listen, it's not selfish to engage in self-nurture. That's not selfish. You are a gift to your family. You are a gift to others. As you engage in self-nurture and self-care, and you do some things in your Sabbath, that just sort of rejuvenate you, reconnect you with your family, your close friends. You make no apology for it. You don't have to feel guilty about it. That's you. For some of you, it might be another day or an evening and morning during the week because of your Sunday responsibilities. But I hope you will lean into this principle that says, the Sabbath is made for you. That you need that time to rest, to reconnect with your spouse, with your family, with your community, to worship, to pamper your soul in the presence of God, to reconnect with Him. Whatever that looks like. And there's no real, you know, I'm not giving you, you ought to do this, ought to do that. Not at all. This is a gift to you. And when that happens, when we engage in this, well, I think that it will help your perspective. I really do. I think it will help you live from the inside out. And rather than listening to all these other voices, you get to tune in again to, here's who I am. As a woman of God, as a man of God, and here's what I'm grateful for. Here are the blessings of God in my life. I can look back and say, that's so good. That is so good. That problem is not that big. God is bigger, and He is with me and for me. Bless you on this, the first day of the week, this day of worship. And I hope that you'll remember the Sabbath principle made for you, God's gift to you.